son.
Roland Martin here, TV show host and bass tournament winner. You know, when I travel, I'm constantly asked about my biggest fish I've ever caught. Well, my biggest fish was an 875-pound bluefin tuna caught with none other than Angelo Viola in Nova Scotia just a couple years ago. Now, you listen to Angelo on the Outdoor Journal radio show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. He'll put you on where to go and how to catch your biggest fish ever.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Mike Mooring sitting in for Steve Labadee, and we have Derek Brandeo and Andrew Holland on the board today. And I was laughing, Michael, listening to Roland there, because I know you have been deeply involved in Roland Martinism for the last couple of months. We should tell the folks why. Pine Post Productions, our parent company, this year started producing the Roland Martin Show. And Michael, this, of course, is not his regular gig. He's filling in for Stephen Labadee, who is the normal everyday engineer on this show. Michael is one of the lead editors, if not the lead editor, of the Fishing Canada show. And so, consequently, he got the Roland Martin gig as well. And you've been listening to Roland now for about a month, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
That is an adventure,
He's an enthusiastic gentleman.
My God. And, you know, earlier on, Mercer was talking to us about Rick Klun, who's 72. Roland's 80.
It's unbelievable.
And he's perpetual.
He's a machine. His energy is always, like, just through the roof.
Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable.
And that is difficult for an editor to deal with, right? Because you got to always look for your ins and outs. But
that's
with
right.
Roland, there is no in and out.
It's just a mile a minute. Yeah.
Anyways, wonderful man. We're proud and proud as hell to be the production facility that he chose to take his program into the, I'm assuming, the final leg of the adventure called Roland Martin Fishing, but who knows?
Who knows?
He might outlive us.
It doesn't seem unlikely.
I know. Earlier this week, we received a press release. Actually, it was earlier last week. This is incorrect. Once again, I have to apologize for our crack research department. Earlier the week after, previous to last week, we received a press release that the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry was about to talk about the extension of the agreement between, no, they had finalized the extension of the agreement between themselves and the Metro East Anglers for the operation of the Ringwood Fish Culture Station. And that is very cool because a lot of people don't realize just how important Ringwood is to all of us who enjoy fishing and angling and hang out in the tremendous fishery that we have in this part of the world. So we thought we would go right to the top and talk to the man who has been involved in this project for some time. He is the manager of the Lake Ontario Management Unit working for the Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources. His name is Andy Todd. Good morning, Andy. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, Angelo. Good to talk to you.
Good talk to you, man. So this is great news. This is wonderful. Tell us about the whole background to Ringwood, because I'm sure a lot of people, Andy, have no idea that it even exists, and it sits right there in Stouffville, and people don't even know what it is. I'm sure they drive by and have no idea. Tell them about Ringwood.
Yeah, Angelo, I'll just give you a bit of background. First, it was just great to have the minister up there this week to make the announcement and to meet the members of Metro East Anglers. I know they really appreciated it. That Ringwood facility, it started about 1980, but on about, through the 2000s, M&R was looking at their production. That facility was our Chinook salmon production at one point for Lake Ontario. And we started an agreement around 2006 with the OFAH. Well, we transitioned some of the production. We were rebuilding some hatcheries. And then in 2011, the Metro East Anglers took over the operation of that hatchery, to focus on some key species that they wanted to produce for Lake Ontario. We work very closely with Metro East Anglers. They are basically the only one that raises coho for Lake Ontario right now. So they do raise some other species for us, but they carried on the coho program for us, and they do a great job.
Wow. That whole Metro East Anglers, it's been around. How long has it been around? It's been around forever.
They've been around a while. And, you know, they were involved since 2006, I know, with OFAH and through the Ringwood Agreement, the initial one, and then carried it on after that. You know, you can't say enough about the volunteers there. And it's not just the raising of the fish. Like, they actually clip the fish for us. We've got a binational science study with New York State. And we asked the Metro East anglers to clip all the coho for us. And, you know, they anteed up, and they're doing that. And that's not easy. So they're involved in a lot of things.
Tell the listeners, because, you know, if for those people who are not really familiar with this whole stocking of lakes and raising fish to manage and put in our waterways and stuff, for those people who aren't familiar with that whole operation, tell them just how important it is to have volunteer groups like Metro East Anglers, for example. And there's many more, by the way. We're keying in on Metro East Anglers right now because of this press release. But tell them how important it is for M&R to have those groups available to do some of the heavy lifting. Because we just automatically assume, hey, it's government. They just hire people and do all this stuff.
Right. So we do have a core fish culture program in Ontario. We have nine, you know, full operating hatcheries. We raise about 8.5 million fish. But there are areas in the province where clubs really step up and help us out on some things. Ringwood's one. I can name a number of other areas around the province. I don't want to exclude anybody, as you said, but we're talking about Metro East today. And there's a lot of activity across there. And, you know, it's really grassroots. They're connected to the community. It engages, you know, young kids in the school. They come out, they get their hands on fish, and they get connected to the resource. So there's a huge benefit sort of socially to connecting the generations to the fishery. And, you know, you can just look at some of the history that was some of the older clubs, like the Sydenham Sportsmen Association. There's a long-standing club there. And, you know, I'll just tell you a little story. The trailer that the Metro East Anglers use at Ringwood came from a donation from the St. Catharines Game and Fish Association in 1983 to Alan Pope. And that trailer is still, they're still using it. Now we're maintaining it and whatnot. But the connections between the clubs around the lake and sort of the long partnership we have is pretty substantial and significant.
Okay, so why do we need it? Why do we need all this? And why do we need to spend all this money on fish and in terms of stocking fish and all that? It just seems like a terrible waste of time and effort, doesn't it?
Well, you know, we're talking Lake Ontario here. For Lake Ontario, it's a world-class fishery. You know, it's well-known for that. You know, we've had habitat issues historically that it needs some help. So there's lots of wild production in Lake Ontario for Chinook salmon and coho and rainbows and browns. But it does need some help, so we call it supplemental stocking. So, you know, we look at the wild prop population, and then we supplement it with additional stocking and to keep that balance so we can support that fishery. There's other areas in the province that don't need stocking. And, you know, in fact, a lot of areas don't need stocking. Ontario is blessed with, you know, a strong, sustainable resource. But there are some areas that need supplemental stocking, and that's the role it plays. You know, it's a managed fishery, and we're managing it that way.
That was a tongue-in-cheek question to you, but people ask me that all the time, right? They say, well, why are we even spending money for all this stuff? And I tell them, it's like owning a shoe store. You put the inventory in, and you take the inventory out. And you keep managing that inventory so that when customers come in, there's always shoes for them to buy. Well, Lake Ontario is exactly that. They've done a great job, and when I say they, I'm talking about M&R, has done a great job at maintaining the wild stock of fish, but there are a lot of fish that just don't do well on their own. In fact, there's some lakes where they don't reproduce at all. So if you want the inventory there for folks to enjoy and use, you got to put it in. It's that simple.
That's right.
Go ahead, Andy. Sorry.
No, and, you know, if you look at lake-wide with New York State, we're stocking between 5 to 6 million fish in Lake Ontario annually to support that world-class fishery. So, you know, it's a big effort binationally, and we really appreciate all the help we get from Metro East and others around the lake on everything from net pens for Chinook salmon, you know, to some of our smaller clubs that are helping out. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't want this to be, you know, misunderstood as a kumbaya moment here. Because, you know, in as much as I support M&R programs and efforts on keeping our fisheries in place. It's purely greed that makes me feel good about it because I want to go out and catch fish. So it's not, you know, I'm applauding them because they give me the opportunity to go out and enjoy me. I say me, my family, my friends, go out and enjoy this thing that we take for granted here. If you were to take away the efforts, even a portion of the efforts that goes into stocking programs in Ontario, you would soon find that maybe it's not the world-class fishery that it is without some help. And that's what proper management does, and that's why we have the best fishery on the planet. And thank goodness we do, because we live here and enjoy it. And I even say we exploit it, but it comes at a cost. People have to work. People have to put things in place in order for us to go out Sunday morning and wet that line and catch a fish. You know, so
yeah. No, anyways. Well said.
Yeah, keep it up, my friend. Anything else we need to know about this Metro East Angler Association?
No, I mean, I just think they're a poster child for a lot of clubs around the province. And without having to name all of them, you know, we really appreciate all the hard work that the clubs do around fish and wildlife management and partnership. So kudos to everybody.
How do people, let's say there's somebody listening right now in some part of the province that maybe there is a handful of hardcore, good-natured, hardworking outdoors people who have got a concern about a fishery maybe in their vicinity. How do they start a program going that could help their fishery?
That's a really good question. You know, there's a lot of clubs out there. I would look out through social media. There's Facebook pages all over the place. Contact a few of these clubs, like Glenn Anderson at the Metro East Anglers, and they'll provide advice. So reach out to some of these existing clubs, and, you know, depending on the issues, they can provide advice on how to get started, what works, how to get organized. You know, run off the success of others. So we've seen lots of that around. So I would reach out to some of these clubs. They're more than willing to help other clubs in their area and get started.
A question for you too, Andy, and I don't know whether you know the answer, is can folks go to Ringwood and get a tour? Like, how does that work? Can they go, if they want to see more of what's going on behind the scenes, can they do that?
So I wouldn't be promoting the Ringwood hatchery because it is run by volunteers. They lock the gate when there's no one there.
Right.
And volunteers are coming and going, and they're usually in and out to deal with feeding fish or cleaning tanks. And their time is, you know, I guess it's ad hoc. It's not really clear.
Okay.
I would go through the Metro East Anglers Facebook page and inquire through them without just sort of having a bunch of people knocking on the door.
Okay, cool.
I know I've stopped by to drop in and say hello to folks, and it, you know, if there's no one there, they've got the gate locked and the place is locked down for security reasons. So it's not an open door there just because of the way the nature the volunteers.
Yeah, it's a real eye opener for people who haven't seen how an operation like that works. I've been blessed with the opportunity to see a few of them, and I got to tell you, every time I go into one, it just blows my mind at just how hard we are working at managing our wildlife. It does your soul good to see.
So Angela, sure. I would suggest, like, they've got some fantastic videos of, you know, egg collection in the river and hatchery operations right on their Facebook page. They're fantastic. And if folks want to go on there and take a look at that, they've done a super job showing sort of the process and the volunteers and what they do.
Perfect.
So they can look at it right from their desktop too.
That's called Metro East Anglers. Just look them up on Google, and I'm sure you'll get right there. Andy, thank you very much for joining us. Really appreciate you coming on, my friend.
All right. You have a good day.
You too. Andy Todd, manager for the Lake Ontario Unit, the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry, by the way. Another error I noticed in my paperwork, Michael. There's no forestry.
Don't look at me.
I know. No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm just venting. I'm venting with you.
You got to take it up with the A-team.
The A-team, you know. When they get back from Mexico, maybe.